Hello again, everyone. This is Dave Berta, news editor at Foresight Health. On today's episode of Foresight Friday Roundup, we're going to discuss the pros and cons of two new health policy moves by President-elect Joe Biden. Yes, Biden is the president-elect. Sorry, Florida. Sorry, Texas. So today on the Roundup, we're talking about Biden's choice of Xavier Becerra to become the new HHS secretary, and Biden's 100-day plan to get the upper hand on the COVID-19 outbreak in the U.S. That's the same outbreak that's killing 3,000 Americans a day because most followers of the outgoing president still think it's a hoax or think wearing a mask somehow infringes on their personal liberty. Sorry, Idaho. Sorry, South Dakota. To tell us what the moves by Biden mean are Dave Johnson, founder and CEO of Foresight Health, and Julie Murchison, partner at Transformation Capital. Hi, Dave. Hi, Julie. How are you guys doing this morning? Dave?
Oh, in a word, I'm feeling schizophrenic. I'm comforted by a well-oiled transition by the incoming Biden administration and appalled by the lawsuit to negate Biden's certified victory by 17 attorney generals and over 100 members of Congress. Welcome to December 2020.
All right, Julie, we know how Dave's feeling. How are you?
Yeah, on a more personal level, we're starting into day 5 of our stay-at-home order in the Bay Area, which means that our family has restarted our Zoom bingo nights with other families. And since we have a sixth grader at home, we are planning the Zoom cookie decorating parties. So it's truly Groundhog Day, Dave.
Very creative. That's great.
How do you get your prizes?
Yeah, I'm not even sure prizes apply anymore, but they're fun, I have to say.
Dave's all about the market reward.
Yeah, bingo.
Right. All right. Before we talk about HHS secretaries and 100-day plans, let's talk about your mask supply. I'm guessing both of you are pretty far down on the list of people who will get the COVID vaccine, which means you'll be waiting a while. How is your mask supply? How are you keeping it stocked or fresh, Dave?
Well, I reviewed the CDC priorities, and you're right. I'm somewhere in the neighborhood of 287 million in line for the vaccine. So it's not coming into my arm anytime soon. So thank God for Costco. We've got boxes of those blue surgical masks just about anywhere and everywhere we could possibly need them.
Got it. Julie, how about you? How is your supply chain performance when it comes to masks?
Well, thankfully, I have packed away my vote and all my vote-related masks for a while, even though maybe I still need them. And I have plenty of sports masks for my workouts. I have plenty of KN95s for the grocery store and those kind of external visits. And my family and I continue to buy fun, stylish masks in all sorts of places just to spice up our look a little bit. And I just bought the family some ugly sweater masks, so I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah, very creative. We've got a laundry basket going, one with clean reusable masks and another for ones that need to be washed. We also have disposable masks stashed pretty much everywhere, you know, glove compartments, coat pockets, laptop bags, just in case we need one or someone we're with needs one. You know, we're way down on the list too, so we have to be well stocked. No just-in-time inventory for us on this one, so we should be good. All right, let's talk about Xavier Becerra, Biden's nominee to be the next HHS secretary. Dave, what do you know about him? What do you know about his experience? And how do you think those things will play or translate into his policy priorities?
Becerra was a surprise choice, particularly for the five medical associations pushing hard to put a physician in charge of HHS. Personally, I've never bought the argument that only doctors can lead government healthcare agencies. From a policy perspective, healthcare's biggest challenges are political and regulatory. In that sense, Becerra may be exactly the right type of leader for HHS right now. Here's his background in a nutshell. I mean, a real American success story. Son of working class Mexican immigrants, overachiever, first in his family to go to college, Stanford undergraduate and Stanford Law School, a 12-term member of Congress. That's 24 years for those of you doing the math. He was rising in leadership ranks, led the Democratic caucus, had a very senior role on the Ways and Means Committee during the ACA debate and passage. He's clearly not afraid of a challenge. He left Congress and all that potential to become California's Attorney General in 2017, replacing Kamala Harris. In the role of Attorney General, he's filed over 100 lawsuits against the Trump administration, including ones to protect the ACA, very notable, and women's reproductive rights, also very notable. He won a major anti-competitive lawsuit against Sutter, the behemoth in Northern California, that's going to help keep Julie's healthcare prices lower. He created the nation's first environmental justice agency, and he worked with Republicans to prevent student vaping. So here's what I like about his experience. Biden's top healthcare priority is to improve the Affordable Care Act. With Becerra, he has an experienced legislator and political fighter to lead that charge. Secondly, he's willing to take on the healthcare industrial complex. The Sutter settlement could be a blueprint for addressing healthcare's regional monopolies that distort healthcare prices. Third, he understands social determinants of health and the need for holistic service delivery. Evidently, Biden was very impressed by Becerra's work right after law school, serving clients with mental health issues was one of the things that put him into the top position. And then finally, and perhaps foremost, Becerra, given his background, understands the challenges confronting everyday Americans who are just getting crushed by the U.S. healthcare system. He'll be a strong advocate for access, affordability, and coverage. And it's hard not to like leaders like Becerra who want great healthcare for all Americans that won't break the bank.
Got it. Thanks, Dave. Julie, what do you see as Becerra's policy agenda as HHS secretary? And what two or three pieces of advice would you give him to succeed at his new job?
Well, let us not count our chickens until they hatch here, because there are a lot of people who view Becerra as a pretty extremist who's a big believer in Medicare for all. And as Dave talked about, he has a history of going after health systems and drug makers for anti-competitive behavior. And if we have a Republican Senate, those things matter. So I wouldn't be surprised if he has a tough time getting through the Republican-controlled Senate. But I'm one who supports this for sure. He's a really interesting candidate and pretty unique. And I think from a policy perspective, he's a man of the people all the way. And this is a very different kind of profile than we've seen in this role. I assume you'll see him really reinforce science and trust in our healthcare institutions. I think he gets that, and certainly we'll start with CDC. More interestingly, though, I think you'll see him use his incredibly deep understanding of the law and of Congress, obviously, to use that vast regulatory power that he has to make, I think, some pretty significant strides in some of the serious health system flaws that we have. He understands the infrastructure. He understands the reimbursement system. So he can do a lot here. He's a man who's served on the Ways and Means Committee, and he's led the House Democratic Caucus, so he gets politics, and he's an expert in policy, politics, and healthcare in ways that many other candidates wouldn't be. So I think he'll spend a lot of time in that way. And again, as Dave talked about, really working for the people, underserved people, women, and even on the immigration side, a lot of work there as well that will come into play. My three pieces of advice, one would be, first, you have so much to do. And Jeff Zients, the new coronavirus czar, will absolutely crush the coronavirus work. He is super strong. So rely on him, pave the way for him with the governors and others, and spend your time rebuilding trust and communicating transparently about the situation, no matter what you do. We need transparent communication. And ensure the infrastructure that Jeff Zients creates can be sustained in some way for the long haul, because we know we're going to see a pandemic like this again in our lifetimes, and we need to be able to support that. My second piece is continue your bipartisan approach. Go hard on reaching across the aisle. Republicans are already concerned that you lean too much to the left, and we need to make sure that whatever health policy comes out of the Biden administration is here to stay with support all around. Third, and finally, I'd say, Dave might hate this, but think carefully about how you approach the hospitals and the drug makers. These two sectors are literally saving the day or the year or our lifetime right now with the pandemic. And yes, how we pay them needs to be fixed much more rapidly. Yes, competition among them is extremely important. But what we need to consider is how to redesign these important organizations to serve the needs of public health and health creation overall, and do so in a sustainable way. So tread lightly.
Well, as the pretenders say, there's a fine line between love and hate, right, Dave? So there's your today's musical reference. And anything to add to Julie's comments?
Well, I think Julie's right. His confirmation hearing may be tough, although, you know, he does have that 24 years in Congress and a history of working across the aisle. Personal relationships matter. So, and he's clearly qualified. So I think he gets through probably after a fair amount of rhetorical flourish. You know, when I think about the structural issues with healthcare, Democrats want greater access and Republicans don't want to break the bank. And it's actually possible to achieve both. And there is a promising piece of legislation proposed by Senator Braun of Indiana and five representatives in the House, Westerman from Arkansas being the lead in the House, that really builds on the Affordable Care Act by strengthening exchanges, increasing subsidies, and so on, and also attacks some of the price distortions that are in the law. Becerra, I think, wants those things too. And I am cautiously optimistic that after we get through the pandemic, and I believe it's going to be a successful rollout, we'll get into that in a second, there'll be enough goodwill that we can actually start to attack some of these structural issues, including the regulatory issues. And yeah, Julie's right. I don't worry too much about hurting the behemoth health systems and insurance companies and device manufacturers that we'll continue that debate over time.
Sounds good. Thanks, Dave. Now let's talk about Biden's 100-day plan to battle the pandemic. Julie, tell us what's in the plan, what you like about it, what you don't like about it, and give us kind of how this thing will roll out even past the 100 days.
Well, first, let's just do a big group high five, because for the first time in a long time, we have a plan. So exciting. This plan has three components. First, it's a 100-day mask campaign. Second is 100 million vaccinations in 100 days. And third is opening the majority of schools in the first 100 days. And honestly, the plan's straightforward, drives home the number 100 pretty well, and it clarifies our societal priorities, which is important. You know, in the mask campaign, he's turning what's been a highly politicized issue into a 100% patriotic issue. And he's requiring this where he can in federal buildings and interstate travel, and vows to work with governors in every state. And Dave, did you know that there are 12 states that do not enforce the mask policy currently recommended by CDC? Does that seem like a greater or fewer number of states than you would have thought, given all the media hype?
Smaller.
Dave, you think the number would have been smaller?
No, that 12 is smaller than I would have guessed. I would have thought more were fighting it.
Yeah, I would say the same thing based on what I see on TV. You think, you know, there's these anti-mask protests everywhere and every store you go to. So that's interesting.
Yeah, I was surprised too. I thought the number would be higher for sure. And but there are big states in there like Florida and you know, Georgia and Tennessee, important as well. So Biden's going to have a few governors to sweet talk, but it's fewer states than I thought. But overall, I like it. If science is any indication, the mask campaign should help slow the spread. So that's good. Now, the vaccine plan, I think, is another story. Many view this as an overly optimistic plan, primarily because the execution challenges are significant in vaccine distribution. And most assume that the Pfizer allotment will just come through, but that's still a risk. And part of the execution challenge is also people. You know, trust in the vaccines is pretty much in the gutter. So that's an issue. And there's the follow-on issue of all the vaccines that we need to have come through down the way to make the initial vaccinations matter. I personally think we're going to find 50 million people, no problem, among healthcare workers, educators, the vulnerable. Maybe it's the next tranche. It'll be hard. All that said, I like the priority on healthcare, long-term care, and educators. Lastly, getting to opening schools. This just has to be a priority. If we can protect the majority of people involved in our educational system, we can obviously ensure that most of our future generation is continuing to be educated, unlike much of today. And, you know, that will certainly help jumpstart the economy. So that's critical. And while the unions, I'm sure, will continue to be a major challenge, vaccinations will go a long way with this group and already are. So this is an inclusion, you know, this inclusion is a strong statement about our priorities as a nation. And again, we have a national plan. Hallelujah.
Thanks, Julie. Dave, what's good about the plan? What are the holes in the plan? And what advice would you give Biden to make his plan a success?
Well, I agree entirely with Julie. One in three being, you know, schools and masks and doing it for America. And also agree with her on the bigger challenge is going to be rolling out the vaccine shots, as you know, across the country, hundreds of millions of people over the next half a year to 9 months. And we've discovered, maybe not surprisingly, that there aren't standard protocols developed for this within the Trump administration. You would have thought there would be, but there aren't. Now, on the plus side, I think Biden's picked a dream team to lead the healthcare effort against coronavirus. When you look at, you know, Fauci advising the president directly, cabinet level, Murthy as Surgeon General, who's one of the co-chairs of the Coronavirus Task Force, Walensky, infectious disease doctor that everybody says almost walks on water. And then maybe most importantly, as Julie referenced earlier, Zients as the czar. I think the biggest mistake the Obama administration made when it was rolling out the Affordable Care Act was the lack of attention that it paid to the exchange and healthcare.gov. They poured tens of millions of dollars into essentially building a website, and it collapsed almost immediately. And I don't know if you remember, but Republicans had shut down the government as it was rolling out in protest. The nation was really on pins and needles waiting to see how the rollout would go. And I believe a successful rollout would have changed the entire perception of the ACA. So instead of being just another government program screwed up by government officials, it could have been really smooth and really impressive and so on. And they just didn't get that done. However, they did respond quickly by bringing Zients and a team of real software professionals in, and they got the exchanges up and going. So imagine having someone with that experience and then the tech background that he's got in rollout to start to think about some of these issues related to distribution, tracking, logistics overall. And it's the equivalent of trying to move Patton's army across Europe. It is a logistical challenge of monumental proportions. But, you know, I think you got a dream team there that together has leadership capabilities potentially to pull it off. And I'm going to be optimistic here. I think they will pull it off. And that will give such a boost to the Biden administration and maybe bipartisan policy initiatives that we can then start to really attack some of the structural healthcare issues. So I'm choosing to be positive today.
Thanks, Dave. Right. User experience counts. Julie, anything to add to Dave's comments?
No, I think Dave said it all. I think we are both pretty enthusiastic and giddy about the team.
Got it. All right. Now, as always on the roundup, let's talk about next week. Julie, I know this is your favorite part of the show. What's your prediction for next week? What's the big healthcare story?
Well, I'm going to go bold and say that we are ready for the CMS head announcement. So fingers crossed.
Got it. Dave, what's the big healthcare headline next week?
There'll be two. We're going to be talking about death and delivery, the rampaging coronavirus setting new records every single day in terms of infections, hospitalizations, death. I mean, it's the Grim Reaper going across America. And then we're also going to be focusing on the new vaccines, which looks like today the FDA is going to approve Pfizer. Moderna is going to be right on the heels of that. Others are starting to work their way through the process. So death and delivery.
Great. All right. Thanks, Dave. And thank you, Julie. That's all the time we have for today. If you'd like to learn more about the topics we discussed, please visit our website at foresighthealth.com. You also can find a recording of this podcast and all our podcasts on iTunes, Spotify, and other streaming services. Thanks again for listening. I'm Dave Berta for Foresight Health.